Take the Word of God with me and turn in them to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2, we'll look at verses 1 through 10. Starting in verse 1, these are the words of the Lord. Then after an interval of 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. It was because of a revelation that I went up and I submitted to them the gospel, which I preach among the Gentiles. But I did so in private to those who were of reputation, for fear that I might be running or had run in vain. But not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. But it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in, who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. But from those who were of high reputation, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Well, those who were of reputation contributed nothing to me. But on the contrary, seeing that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised, for he who effectually worked for Peter in his apostleship to the circumcised effectually worked for me also to the Gentiles, and recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, so that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They only asked us to remember the poor, very thing I also was eager to do. And that is the word of the Lord. By chapter 2, there is now a constant divide or friction between those who were once Jews who are now Christians and those who were Gentiles who are now Christians. We read in Ephesians 2, they have now become one. Now, many of the Jews had retained a regard, as we've heard, for the ceremonial law, even after Christ, but those who are Gentiles are showing no regard for it at all. That is, they were not practicing it. And the verses before us we were reminded of that journey Paul took to Jerusalem, that's talked about in Acts 15 of the Jerusalem Council. The time, it says in verse 1, is 14 years later. That was most likely 14 years after chapter 1, verse 18. And he goes up to Jerusalem with Barnabas and Titus. And there in Jerusalem, he had opportunity to share the gospel that he was preaching, the true gospel that he was preaching among the Gentiles who were free from the mixtures of Judaism. The issue again of circumcision comes up. And many of the disciples of Jesus were imposing that sign still upon the Gentiles. And Paul calls such ministers false brethren here. And these brothers were secretly brought into the church or this council meeting to spy out the freedom God's children have in Jesus Christ. Their purpose was to bring about bondage to the Gentiles. You need to be circumcised. You need to follow the ceremonial law. But Paul, seeing their design, testifies that he did not give in. He did not yield in subjection to them so that the truth of the gospel might continue to the Gentiles. That is, the gospel being Jesus plus nothing is salvation. But they were adding circumcision to Jesus, but not Paul. Elders, see how we must be in our minds and hearts towards man. Verse 6. There were those of high reputation, influential men who were in authority, but that did not cause Paul to not stand firm in the gospel. He did not yield in subjection, but on the contrary, seeing how the Lord had equipped him, to minister the gospel to the Gentiles, and Peter to the Jews, of which the Lord both effectually was working through them to both people groups. And Paul recognizing God's grace that was given to him. James, Peter, and John gave the right hand of fellowship to him and Barnabas to go minister to the Gentiles the gospel, which they were particularly called to minister to the poor. The other apostles, fully convinced of Paul's divine mission and authority given by God, they acknowledged Paul and sent him out. And the Church of Jesus Christ, elders especially listen, but members as well, as sometimes you have opportunity to nominate people to office in His Christ Church, that there is an excellent pattern of Christian charity described here. We're taught that we should not confine the offices of Christ's church or service in His church or people in His worship to people just like us or who were, their past is so horrible. How could they really serve Jesus Christ now? What Paul, remember, had murdered Christians, many, many Christians before he was converted. But here we see James, Peter, and John, knowing that he was preaching the gospel and was a true convert, sent him out. And so we're not looking for people just like us. We're looking for people who love Jesus and proclaim His word. And so, beloved, let us love such people, even those who are not like us, but are the children of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You save those who grow up in Christian households, covenant families. We thank You that You bring to Yourself those who never even heard the gospel for many, many years. And then the first time they heard, they believed. We thank You that You bring to salvation even those wicked, evil people, murderers, adulterers, idolaters, and the list goes on and on of such people in our world. And yet You bring even them, heinous people in our sight, to the Lord, to You, to the gospel and salvation. We thank You that You're a God who is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness to thousands. Our Father, we ask that even amongst us here today, there surely is some who do not know You. As You have been merciful to us, Father, be merciful to them and send Your Spirit and accompany that Spirit with Your word that they would hear and believe, having had their hearts changed. Father, we praise You for salvation. We praise You for the church, the bride of Christ, who is blemished outside of Christ, and who is holy in Christ. Father, we ask that You would forgive us of our many sins. We have turned from You in many different ways, breaking all Your commandments in thought, word, and deed. Father, cleanse us from the flesh and turn our hearts unto You. Cause us to repent and confess our sins before You, that You would be faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And this we lean upon You and You only, for You're the only God, and You're the only God who forgives and cleanses us, not because of anything in us, but because of Your love. Father, hear our prayers, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.